Namaskar.
Bienvenue.
I'm from Bangalore, India.
Dublin, Ireland.
Turkey.
The Philippines.
This is Feet into Worlds.
I came here to study.
To work.
To volunteer.
Build a life of my own.
Welcome to Feet into Worlds.
Esto es Con los pies en dos mundos.
Bir ayağım burada, bir ayağım orada yaşıyorum.
Welcome to Feet into Worlds.
For Haitian men, immigrating to the U.S. can open doors, including the door to the kitchen. I'm John Rudolph, executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds, a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. On this Food in Two Worlds podcast, I'm speaking with Nadej Florimond. She's a Feet in Two Worlds food reporting fellow and the owner of Florimond Catering. She's also the author of Taste of Life, a culinary memoir. And she's competed on the Food Network show Chopped. Nadej, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, John, for having me.
Nadej, you wrote a piece for Feet in Two Worlds about how life in the U.S. has dramatically changed the way some Haitian men think about their role in the kitchen. Now, in Haiti, men don't cook, right?
Not generally speaking, no.
So what is it about the immigrant experience coming to the U.S. that changes that?
I think there's a lot of different things at play. I do think socially here, cooking is more accepted, one. But I think more importantly is the familiar structure is quite different here than it is in Haiti. So a lot of men that find themselves in the U.S. are either single, maybe they left their wives back home in Haiti. So coming here, they kind of like have to fend for themselves in a way. So they had to kind of like pick up some of these, I guess, domestic skills. So I think that's part of it. It's not such an extended family structure here, because in Haiti, even if a man is not married or attached romantically, he does have a mother who lives down the block, and he does have a sister and aunt who's always willing to take care of him in that department. And here, everyone is pretty busy, so they don't really have that kind of fail-safe way of, you know, being taken care of anymore.
Now, you interviewed a number of Haitian men who cook who were really kind of thrown into that role, maybe to their own shock and surprise.
Yes, yes. An interesting story is with one of the gentlemen I interviewed, Ronald. He was married, and his wife pretty much did the cooking because, you know, she was at home more, and he worked, you know, the typical structure, 9 to 5. So one day, as he stated, coming home from work, expecting to find food, and he asked her, like, hey, what's for dinner? In an innocent manner, of course. But her answer threw him back because she was like, kind of like, what am I, your maid? And it was kind of like how her mentality was shifting in terms of how she viewed cooking and domestic chores in the home. But it also kind of showed him kind of like, wow, things were really changing. And he kind of like, this is something that he realized that, you know what, he couldn't rely on her for, but he needed to make sure that he was able to fend for himself. And when he later divorced, he, you know, because of that initial statement, he was ready for single life because now he's probably a phenomenal cook. And I've had the chance to taste a lot of his food, and his friends, men and women, they all depend on him as the go-to person for some meals.
Now, wait, are you saying that his divorce was sparked by him asking his wife what's for dinner one night?
I wouldn't say it was sparked by that, but I think it just basically showed the nature and probably maybe the dynamics of the relationship and how many relationships, because Haiti is a very traditional country, and there are a lot of expectations of both men and women that they place on each other and that they place on themselves. If you ask a Haitian woman, it is not unlikely for even a mother to tell a daughter, like, if you don't know how to cook, you're basically not worth anything to a future mate. So it's kind of like here, that thought and structure and mentality is changing. And so not necessarily the divorce was sparked by it, but it just basically showed you how the interaction between the genders are quite different here. And I think that simply made him realize that even if he hadn't before, that, you know what, things are different here. This is a whole new ball game. And good thing about him is he was very willing and open, but not everyone is as willing.
So is it fair to say then that the story of Haitian men cooking, entering the kitchen in the U.S. is kind of a metaphor or a parallel to broader changes in relations between men and women in the Haitian immigrant community?
Oh, I definitely think so. I mean, I'm a foodie, so everything I do is food related in some way. But I always think that food is a microcosm of really what's going on in society in general. And that's really what this story is about, because I found the story quite humorous. But for the main part, it really showed us like how men and women interact and how mentality is shifting. And if you take another couple that I interviewed in the story, Bera and Fabienne, married couple, both, you know, they have children and they are rearing them here. But when you look at it, kind of like the roles have shifted in terms of who cooks. Bera, the husband, for the most part, he is the caretaker. He is the person who takes care of the home. And they both work, funny enough, but it's just that his work life has allows him the ability to be able to do it. But if you go to Haiti, it doesn't matter who works more or who works less. A woman will come home at, you know, 5 o'clock in the evening, make sure she seasons her meat for the week ahead, and ensures that she's able to cook for her family. And if the man happens to be an entrepreneur and he's home all day, it really doesn't matter. And as you look at such a couple, Bera and Fabienne, you realize, you know what, people are getting kind of like this sense, kind of like, you know what, it's not so much about men, women, it's more about what is fair, perhaps, and what makes sense to lead like maybe a healthy or probably a productive life.
And these shifting roles don't necessarily have to end in divorce. They're as you're saying, that with some couples, they adapt and very happily.
Oh, yeah, they adapt. And I think what ends up happening is sometimes another gentleman, Donald, as he expressed in the story, that he always wanted to learn how to cook. I've done cooking classes, and he actually attended one, and I was just so shocked to find out about his interest in cooking. And he's like, I don't know how to boil water. And he was quite sad about that. And I'm like, why are you here? He's like, I would love to be able to make my mother a meal one day. And this is the very mother that wouldn't allow him in the kitchen to begin with, because she felt that wasn't a place for a boy. So I think it's just a matter of people now really, again, I don't know if it's an activity or if it's just like food in general is pop culture with the advent of the Food Network and all of these reality TV shows. There is this interest that people really have in the art of cooking. And they're even learning that this is something they can be good at, as Ronald discovered, whether it was forcefully. And then Bera, who is not forced, but who has just decided that it is what makes sense for his family, he actually enjoys it. And he has actually entered cooking contests on a friendly basis. And he just really explored the territory and in a way that perhaps he otherwise wouldn't have if he was in Haiti.
Nadege, the men you interviewed for your story are, for the most part, home cooks. Are Haitian immigrant men also becoming professional chefs and cooks in greater numbers?
Oh, I definitely think so. I think just like, you know, in Haiti, there are three professions that reign supreme. It's doctor, lawyer, engineer. And that goes for men or women. I can tell you my family's disappointment when I decided to be a caterer, but that's another story. So it wasn't highly regarded for anyone, let alone a man, because it was seen as such a woman thing to do to cook. So men were not thinking about becoming chefs. But if you look at here, just like with every other career, Haitian men, Haitian women, they're exploring more career opportunities in general, because like I always tell different older Haitians, here there are more than one way to make a dollar. It's not just doctors and lawyers anymore. And I think these men now feeling comfortable to enter the kitchen, figuring out or deciding that they actually like that environment, have decided that, you know what, the next step perhaps is I can make a career. So you do have chefs like Rhonda Pratt, who's in Florida, who has competed on shows like Top Chef on Bravo, you know, other food professionals like Stéphane Durand, who's another professional chef who used to be here. He used to be like a professional chef in the army, and now he's moved back to Haiti and kind of like teaching in that kind of culture, kind of like really bringing the culinary arts as a profession or a viable profession to the environment.
So I want to ask you about going back to Haiti, Haitians going back to Haiti, especially Haitian men returning to Haiti, whether it's to visit friends and family or to go back there to, you know, reestablish their lives. What's it like when they've, you know, become comfortable in the kitchen, become comfortable with domestic chores that traditionally are part of a woman's responsibilities, and then they go back to Haiti? What kind of response do they get? What kind of reaction do they get? Are people ridiculing them? Do they accept them?
Well, of course, from the men, they're being ridiculed. But by the women, they're very impressed and they're very shocked because—and even some women will ridicule them, too, because they will feel that, you know, the United States have softened them up in some way from being the men. You know, it's a very machismo type of society, just like a lot of Caribbean countries are, a lot of third world countries are in general. So this is not something that they understand. There are other things that they're not quite comfortable with either. It's just like, okay, when these men come back, they see their relationships with their wives or even children. Like, these men are taking care of their kids. Their wives are going out while they babysit. If you tell a Haitian man that, it's kind of like, wow, that's shocking. So all of these things are at play. So when they do see a man with an apron in the kitchen, it's like, oh my God, what have they done to you abroad?
But you say that, generally speaking, Haitian women are much more receptive to these kinds of changes.
Of course. Of course, because it lightens their load quite a bit when you think about it, if you have the men sharing in these chores and activities. Because as I stated earlier, it didn't matter if the women work, because Haitian women always work. They may not work in traditional roles like men did and have an office job, but they were always doing things to take care of the home. So, and they still had to do these domestic tasks. Seeing that it's possible that they can share these tasks and chores, it's kind of like very refreshing for them.
So, Nadege, tell me, what was the best thing you ate in researching your story about Haitian male cooks?
Well, Ronald, like I said, I really do think he's innately a good cook and a great cook at that. So some of the best things I ate were with him. And he, I have to tell you, like, in Haiti, there's this dish called maimoule. It's pretty much it's a cornmeal mash type of thing, kind of like grits, but made with yellow cornmeal. And you make it with vegetables and spinach, and it's absolutely delicious. But it's really known as peasant food in Haiti. So there's a lot of people pretty much who don't eat it. I would say Haiti's a poor country, but at the same time, their idea about certain things is very distorted. So it's kind of like, even if they are poor, they don't want to be seen as poor. So there are certain things they try to stay away from whenever necessary. So when you come to the United States, a lot of people stay away from eating maimoule because, oh, it's not regarded highly enough. But Ronald, in a way, has kind of like converted everyone to be maimoule fanatics because he has this hand that really converts it from this like ordinary plain peasant food to something extraordinary. And I've actually asked him for a recipe that I've actually included into some of my menus when I cater, and people are like, this is not elegant enough to serve at an event. But then when they taste it, they're like, oh my God. So I would have to say that's probably the best dish that I got to taste.
Well, Nadege, I want to thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you very much, John, for having me.
Nadege Fleurimond is a Feet in Two Worlds food reporting fellow and the owner of Fleurimond Catering. You can read her story about Haitian male cooks on our website, news.feetintoworlds.org. The Feet in Two Worlds podcast is produced by Sarah K. Kramer and Jocelyn Gonzalez. Our engineer is Chad Bernhard at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. I'm John Rudolph. Thanks for listening.
Feet in Two Worlds is supported by the New York Community Trust and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation,
with additional support from the Cyrus Fund, WNYC New York Public Radio, and the Ralph E. Ogden Foundation.
This podcast was produced in association with the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism and CUNY TV.
Feet in Two Worlds brings the work of immigrant journalists to public radio and the web. We're a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School.
Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Podbean, or by using the Stitcher Smart Radio app.
You can support this podcast by going to news.feetintoworlds.org and clicking Help Support FI2W.